One day, an old guy from the neighborhood suddenly burst into my house. He wasn't the type of guy known to be a drunk and make scenes. He was a hard worker who kept his nose clean. "You've got to come outside. The sunset is amazing. I've never seen anything like it." His face looked surprisingly refreshing. I'd never seen him look so well. I followed him outside and looked up at the sky. Everything is shining. What a time to be alive. Being able to see such a beautiful sunset sure is a blessing, huh? Having said that, the old guy left and started walking downhill. I continued to stare at the sky for a bit before I went back inside. Before long, I heard a train whistle going off, like the train had hit something. It was followed by the sounds of ambulances and fire trucks. The old guy had been hit by a train and died. Apparently, it was a suicide. Why would a person who had just mentioned how happy they were to be alive kill themselves? It didn't make any sense. Did something possess him? Lure him to the tracks? Although, I have heard that just before someone dies, they see beautiful scenery before them. Hey guys, I'm your host, Tara A. Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Koobana, True Japanese Scary Stories from Around the Internet. This week, I'm very happy to announce that my latest book, Kaihan, Bizarre Crimes That Shook Japan, is now on sale. If you're a true crime fan, or if you love hearing about bizarre crimes, disappearances, and unsolved mysteries, then this is the book for you. The book looks at 21 cases from Japan that were so strange, so bizarre, that people still talk about them to this day, often decades after they took place. Tales of people disappearing in broad daylight, bizarre criminal behavior, mysterious coincidences that shouldn't add up, and yet... You can find the link in this week's episode description on koobana.net or type in Kaihan on Amazon. That's K-A-I-H-A-N. These bizarre and terrifying stories are actually real. You don't want to miss out. For this week's episode, we're going to be looking at people's brushes with the afterlife. Do you believe in some sort of life after death? Views have been changing in Japan in recent years, with more and more people unsure of what really lies beyond. These tales all deal with someone's brush with the other side, and it would seem that the other side doesn't always mean us well. This first story is about a group of friends who go camping and meet a strange woman by the water. A strange woman who follows one of them home. What does she want? And how far will she go to get it? Find out in The Flirty Ghost. This happened when I was in the fourth grade of university. I got a strange message from one of my good friends. 2 weeks earlier, we'd gone camping with some of our other friends, but I hadn't heard from him since we got back, and something about him seemed off. Like he was feeling down or even scared of something. When I asked him what was wrong, he looked at me like he didn't want to say anything. "That woman has been following me around," he finally said. I had no idea who that woman was supposed to be, and we weren't getting anywhere on the phone, so I decided to head straight to his apartment to chat in person. I rang the doorbell, but he didn't answer, so I knocked and announced that I was there. Finally, he opened the door. In the 2 weeks since I'd last seen him, his complexion had completely changed for the worse. after hearing the full story from him, it turned out that woman was someone we'd met at the river we went camping by. She sat with her legs folded beneath her, staring at the river. She had long black hair and was wearing a white dress. Thinking back on it now, it was a strange sight, but we were drunk at the time, so didn't think much of it. My friend went and spoke to her. "You're cute," he said. "Wanna hang out?" He fired off a standard pickup line and she stared at him. Her face was pale and extremely cute. I could understand why he was going after her so hard. But in the end, he failed, and the woman got up and left. According to him, that same woman was now appearing in his apartment. I didn't think that could be true, but with how scared he looked, he didn't seem to be lying either. I ended up spending the night so I could check with my own eyes. Night fell and we ate dinner around 7 p.m., followed by lots of TV, but I couldn't sense any presence in the apartment. He must have been mistaken, I thought. But then right on 9:30 p.m. the doorbell rang. My friend showed no signs of getting up to answer it. "No way. Is it really her?" I thought, and I gestured towards my friend. His face went pale, and he whispered, "She's here." Scared, we ignored her, but then the ringing turned to knocks on the front door instead. We continued to ignore her, and then a short while later, silence returned. Maybe she left. I nervously approached the door and opened it to check. The area in front of his apartment was soaked. Everything else was dry, except for that one area in front of his door. I got goosebumps. We waited all night for something strange to happen, wondering if she would come back and what we would do if she did. But as the night wore on, we finally fell asleep. Something cold fell on my face as I was sleeping. When I opened my eyes, I looked up to see a wet woman standing above me, looking down at me. I was so surprised that I instantly woke up and tried to scream, but no voice came out. I couldn't even move. I was suffering from paralysis. Too scared to look at the woman and at my wit's end, I closed my eyes and waited. Of course, I also wanted to confirm my suspicions, so I peeked and confirmed that it really was her, the woman from the campgrounds. I knew I was in trouble, but then the woman jumped on top of me and whispered in my ear. "You stay away from him," she said. Okay, I said over and over, just wanting her off and away from me. Then the weight on me disappeared, and when I opened my eyes, she was gone. I thought that perhaps it was a dream, but the mattress I was sleeping on was soaking wet. After that, we gathered everyone who went to the campgrounds and held an emergency meeting. We came up with every idea we could think of to get rid of the ghost, and over a period of several months, did our best to get rid of the woman. I don't know whether it worked or not, but in the end, she stopped appearing at his house. We don't know which method it was that got rid of her, and we still haven't confirmed for sure that she's fully gone. But whenever I remember her standing over me that night, I get chills down my spine all over again. It's generally a good idea not to mess with someone's final resting place. But what would you do if you discovered that your house happened to be built on top of somebody's grave? And now, that angry someone is attacking your family. That's exactly what happened in this next story. Find out how they dealt with it in The Shaman's Prayer. This happened to my aunt on my mother's side when she was just a kid. Although it doesn't look it now, the land near my mother's family home used to hold a graveyard, and the children always used to play there. One day, after my aunt returned home from playing there like she always did, she suddenly fell sick, so she went to lie down. Her fever quickly broke 40 degrees and showed no signs of going back down. They wanted to rush her to the hospital, but she couldn't move, so they called a doctor to come out and visit instead. The doctor's diagnosis was that he had no idea why she was sick. At any rate, he prescribed some medicine, but she still showed no signs of improvement. One of her parents' acquaintances remarked that she was playing in the graveyard, so perhaps that's the cause. The acquaintance then introduced them to a so-called shaman. Locals often consulted the shaman for various matters, so he was well known around town. When he arrived at the house and took one look at my aunt, he immediately started praying with the family. This went on for several hours. Shortly after my aunt started praying, she apparently fell into a fitful sleep, but gradually things calmed down and she slept peacefully. Once the shaman was done praying, he explained to the rest of the family what had happened. It would appear that there is a gravestone buried in the land this house stands on. Because a house now stands above it, the owner of that grave is angry. It will be difficult to dig it up, so you should prepare offerings and water every day. There was a small open space directly behind the house, so they set up a small shrine there and gave offerings. Before long, my aunt's fever rapidly dropped, and that night, she was able to eat again. My aunt says that she still remembers what happened when they were praying, although she didn't know whether it was a dream or reality. When I heard him start praying, I saw a white mist float out of me. Slowly it took form and turned into an old man's face. He floated around me, like he didn't want to leave. Then, a short while later, he shot up into the air and slowly disappeared, she said. My grandparents weren't native to the area, so they had no idea what the land their house stood on had been used for beforehand. But locals informed them that long ago it had been a graveyard, although that was all they knew of the matter. They didn't even think that one of the angry spirits may have been trying to possess the girl. They continued to offer things at the small shrine for a long time, until they received a letter from the shaman saying, "You've been offering things for so long that it appears the spirit has moved on. It's okay now." After that, the shrine was removed and it no longer exists. That old man's spirit seemed angry, but not like, "I'll curse you," my aunt said. It was more like he wanted us to understand that he was beneath the house. As the shaman's prayers continued, the old guy seemed sad, like, "I get it already, but I don't want to be down here anymore, so please do something about it." I'm glad he was able to move on. Being able to help a spirit with their troubles no doubt meant that the shaman's powers were no joke. Japanese ghosts love water. It's the conduit through which they move between worlds. So, if you're hanging out on an empty beach one day, and you hear a voice calling from the water, perhaps you should take care, or something like the following story might happen. This one's called, Hey! This happened when I went to the beach with a friend when I was a university student. All names are aliases. On this particular day, I went to the beach with two of my friends, Tanaka and Sato. We hadn't decided on anywhere concrete to go, but we ended up by the water, and when we found a nice sandy beach, we decided to stop there. Hey, this place is nice, don't you think? Idiot, look how packed it is. Let's find somewhere with fewer people. We kept driving until we got away from the crowds and found a nice isolated part of the beach. The place was empty, other than a few windsurfers, so it seemed like a nice little hidden gem. We stopped the car and got out to play. We pumped up our swimming rings and boards before jumping in. To be honest, I'm not a very good swimmer, so the swimming ring was my lifeline. Same with Tanaka and Sato too. We enjoyed ourselves playing around in the water. Both the weather and the empty beach were pleasant and comfortable. A perfect day for swimming. We played with the beach ball and then floated around on our swimming mats. And as we were lying there, Tanaka said he had to go to the toilet. If you're gonna pee, then you can just do it over there. Shut up. I need to go number two. I saw toilets at the beach back there, so I'm gonna go check it out. After he left, we got out of the water to take a break and lay down on our swimming mats in the sand. Perhaps 10 minutes passed, and as I was dozing on the mat, a voice from the water woke me up. Hey! I sat up to see where the voice was coming from, and saw someone that looked like Sato in the water, a short distance away. He was waving. Hey! What? What's wrong? Hey! He didn't seem to be able to hear me, and continued waving. Annoyed, I got up and put my mat back in the water. Hey! What on earth are you doing? You know you can't swim. Hey! I yelled as I got closer, but all he said was, Hey! Over and over. What the hell is going on? I thought. And then I realized something. Huh? Who the hell is that? He was roughly the same height as Sato, so I thought it was him, but looking closer, it was someone else entirely. Not only that, but he didn't have a swimming ring with him either. Sato was worse at swimming than me, so there was no way he could have gone so far without one. At some point, he stopped yelling and stared at me, his face expressionless. I panicked and turned back, heading towards the beach, but the current was too strong, and no matter how much I kicked, I wasn't getting anywhere. Then, something suddenly grabbed my right ankle. It forcefully pulled me down into the water, and I struggled as hard as I could, but in the end, it dragged me off the mat. Shit, I'm gonna die. Help me! Water filled my mouth. It was over. Just as I thought I was about to die, a passing surfer saved me. If he'd been just a second later, I would have died. He put me on his board and, barely breathing, he took me back to shore. Tanaka and Sato came running over, shocked. "Hey, are you okay? Oh, we're so sorry he troubled you. Thank you for saving him."
"No, not at all. I'm glad I reached him in time. But..."
"What happened?"
Then the surfer answered Tanaka's question.
"You shouldn't swim here anymore. I saw something when I pulled your friend up onto my board. There was a man clinging to his legs. I don't think that was a person. I was so scared I almost let go of him myself. There was an imprint on my right ankle of a human hand. Of course, none of us wanted to swim anymore, so we got the hell out of there as quickly as we could. I later heard that rip currents were frequent in that area, so it was off limits for swimming. The locals made sure never to go swimming there. When I think about the voice that called out to me that day, I still get chills."
If you're feeling down and looking for someone to talk to, but don't have anyone nearby, then BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. With BetterHelp, you can talk to a professional counselor on your own time, at your own pace, in a safe and private online environment. You can schedule secure video and phone sessions when it's convenient for you. Or if you're like me and don't like face-to-face, you can chat or text with your therapist. BetterHelp has licensed professional counselors who specialize in depression, anger, stress, anxiety, and other similar matters. BetterHelp is available worldwide, and you can start talking with someone in under 24 hours. Plus, if you're unhappy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. It's secure, convenient, professional, and financial aid is also available for those who qualify. So why not start today? Kowabana listeners can also get 10% off their first month with discount code Kowabana. Head over to betterhelp.com/Kowabana right now to get started.
Have you ever been alone and felt someone in the room with you? Someone you couldn't see or hear, but something sent your senses off and you can just feel them? The man in this next story certainly has, but rather than fearing it, on the contrary, he takes comfort in the presence. Perhaps a little too much comfort. Until that all changes one day and... Well, best listen to find out. This one's called "My Girlfriend is a Ghost." It would seem that I'm being haunted by a ghost. I've just recently realized. Lots of things have happened that make me think so. For example, on my way home from seeing a client, I stopped by a family restaurant to eat a late lunch. When they asked me how many people, I said one. And for some reason, they brought out drinks for two. Another time, on a busy train, the space next to me was open, and yet nobody sat there. I was honestly worried that maybe I smelt bad. Yet another time, when I got home from work, something about the house seemed off. Turned out all of the furniture and ornaments had been moved just slightly. And one time, my shoulders felt so stiff, and it was followed by this cold sensation of air passing down my back. But what really nailed it was something that just happened. I happened to glance at the mirror, and in it, I saw a woman's hand resting on my left shoulder. When I looked directly at my shoulder, nothing was there. "You're here, aren't you? I know you are.
I screamed without thinking, panicking. If she answered, I probably would have died of a heart attack. But thankfully, there was no response. Ever since then, strange supernatural occurrences have been continuing. It's not like she looks like Sadako or anything, but I can sense her in the apartment regardless. There is one thing I've come to understand, however. Although this spirit is haunting me, it doesn't appear to mean me any harm. My body is healthy and I haven't had any psychological problems either. My fear and wariness have also started to fade. Oh, today was so cold. One day, I finally started speaking to her. Of course, she didn't answer, but it felt like I was no longer alone. Having a ghost comfort my loneliness was like some type of black comedy. Then at some point, I realized that I was treating her like a real girlfriend. I probably thought of her much like otaku think of their dolls and figures. Which tie should I wear today? Someone watching me speak to an empty room would probably think that I'd lost it. But why is she haunting me? That I don't know. From the moment I realized she was, however, things started going really well for me. I started doing better at work, and my relationships improved. If I lost something, I'd always find it again. It was like she was helping me, and although I can't say that for certain, I truly believed it. I could always feel her by my side. She had to be my guardian angel. The following year, I was promoted to business manager. It was a single position only given to those on their way up in the company. I drank some sake at home with her to celebrate. I'd even stopped drinking with my colleagues on my way home. I wanted to return home as soon as possible, because spending time with her was the most important thing to me. I was acting like a married man, so much so that my colleagues were doubting whether I was still single anymore. I wondered how they would react if they knew that she was a ghost. Imagining it made me laugh, but I was also curious. Shortly after I became the section manager, there were talks of arranging my marriage. The daughter of a company president we dealt with often came to see me. She was beautiful and intelligent. I failed to see the problem with it. The only problem was her. When I got home that day, she was oddly quiet. Normally she'd play jokes like knocking my shoes over or opening doors. But on this day, nothing. Was she upset? You'd rather I be happy, wouldn't you? I called out to her. Then a book on the shelf above my head fell down. So, she was angry. A ghost, jealous of a living human being. I struggled to understand it. The formal marriage interview went terribly. She kept getting in the way. She knocked my tea over and caused me to trip over nothing. In the end, my bag zipper got caught in my potential partner's expensive clothes and ruined them. "Get a grip!" I screamed when I got home. She rattled the drawers, trying to convey her own anger at me. I screamed back, asking her what she wanted from me, what I should do. There was no way we could ever be happy together. "Just get out!" I screamed, full of emotion. At that very moment, the atmosphere in the room changed. She was gone. I could feel it keenly. Next thing I knew, I was crying. Huh? Ah. I really did want to be happy with her. But that would never be possible. Not only could I never touch her, I'd never be able to see or hear her. How could we be happy together? This way was better. But inside, I didn't want to let her go. It was like some part of me was now missing. I knew I was just being selfish. I was alone all that time before her, so it would be like going back to those times. No big deal. I knew I was just bluffing, but that was what I told myself anyway. I lay low after that. The arranged marriage didn't work out. My position at work worsened, and it even affected my relationships with other people. As my work results declined, I was blamed for mismanaging those beneath me and forced to resign. Was all of this because she, my guardian angel, was gone? I feared it was, but there was no point lamenting it. I had to look forward. I found a new job and threw myself into work. Day and night, I worked myself to the bone. Even when those around me told me that I was working too much, that just spurred me on even more. Maybe it was my form of atonement to her. Just like that, time passed me by. I had no time to look back. And before I knew it, I had forgotten about her. One day, a newspaper headline caught my eye. Nani Nani Corporation, petition for bankruptcy. It was the client I used to work with, the CEO with the daughter I was supposed to marry. If the marriage had gone ahead, then right now, I'd probably be in over my head with troubles. Thank God she stepped in. No. Maybe she had known from the beginning, and this was her way of warning me. It had to be. And I'd said all those horrible things to her. I felt both regret and annoyance with myself at the same time. But there was no way to apologize to her now. That night, I had a dream. Amongst the throngs of people at Tokyo Station, I saw a woman of my age bent over in pain. Nobody tried to help her. How cold Tokyo people were. I approached her. And then I woke up. I was covered in sweat. Then I remembered. When I went to Tokyo on business once, the exact same thing had happened as in my dream. That woman was taken to the hospital. That woman was her. I had no proof, but I fully believed it. That weekend, I got on the bullet train and went to Tokyo. I wanted to check what happened to that woman after she went to the hospital. Thankfully, I still remembered which one she went to. Not that it mattered, because they wouldn't tell me anything. It happened several years prior, and even if they did remember, it was private information. There was no way they could tell me. But there was still a reason for me to be there. With that in mind, I left the hospital. I sensed something behind me. When I turned around, a woman wearing hospital garb stood there. I was crying before I knew it. So was she. It was her. No doubt about it. We finally met.
Are you okay? Can you hear me? His heart stopped. Get the ASD. Someone, call the doctor.
She grabbed my hand and pulled me towards the light. It was the first time in my life I had ever felt so full. It's not uncommon for workers in Japan to travel all over the country for their job. This means staying in a lot of hotels, and sometimes you don't always get to stay in your number one pick, especially if it's a busy time of year. But why look a gift horse in the mouth, right? Any hotel is a good hotel, right? Maybe not. Find out what happens in Happening at the Hotel. Several years ago, I went to Shikoku with a colleague over New Year's for a work trip. Being the end of the year, all of the hotels were full, and the only place we could find was this one. The hotel was split into the main building and an annex. It was often used as a wedding hall as well. There were some free rooms in the main building, so the staff showed us there. Yet as they did, a bad feeling washed over me. I had no sense of the supernatural, yet something didn't feel right. The hall we walked down connected the main building to the annex, and each of the doors to the rooms in the main building were, unbelievably, made of old iron. Inside the room there was a double bed and sofa, and it was so large that it seemed a waste for a single person. After putting my stuff away, I sat down on the sofa, exhausted. And then I noticed something. For some reason, the Do Not Disturb sign hanging on the back of the doorknob was swaying left and right. Normally I wouldn't pay much attention to something like that, but it bothered me, so I turned the air conditioner off. And still, the sign kept swinging. I picked it up and then put it back. Just like before, it swang back and forth again. Creeped out, I took it off the doorknob, and as I turned around, I noticed a 4-centimeter light shining on the curtain. I thought maybe it was coming from the peephole in the door, but when I covered it with my hand, the light didn't disappear. As I continued to watch it, it grew bigger. I screamed and ran from the room towards my colleagues. I told him everything that had happened, and he came to my room to check it out, but the light was gone. I couldn't stay in that room any longer though, so I went back to the front desk and asked if they could put me in another. Thinking back on the conversation we had now, it really was strange. I'll pay the difference, so please, can you just move me to another room? Did something strange happen, sir? Yes, it seems like I'm not alone in there. I see. We have another room prepared, so I'll get the key. Seemed they already had another room ready for me. They showed me to it right away. It was big enough to house an entire family. I didn't get a wink of sleep that night. I looked into the hotel after leaving and discovered that, in the past, that room in the main hall was used exclusively by employees. One of them had died there. I'll never go back to that hotel again. Do your shoulders feel constantly heavy? You feel like you have little energy to get through the day. Do you feel like someone is always watching you? If so, you might have an unwanted friend that only a trained professional can deal with, like the man in this next story. Problem is, even with help, sometimes they just don't want to leave. This one's called The Spirit Medium's Exorcism. This happened a while ago, when a spirit medium performed an exorcism on me. This spirit medium generally didn't take money for exorcisms. For regular folks like me, the medium performed exorcisms and other ceremonies free of charge. And if he did take anything, he'd only accept a small gift worth a few thousand yen at best. It seemed he had a few wealthy sponsors, so he was able to live his life well, performing a medium's duties. My friend was the one who introduced me to him. They had met previously and continued to see each other once a year. The medium asked my friend if he knew anyone who met certain conditions, and I fit them exactly. They called me, and I ended up having a meeting with the medium. He was a man in his 60s. We introduced ourselves, and at that very moment, something felt off. Normally, when you talk to people, you look them in the eye, but the medium was looking right above me. Then, his face tense, he said, "You're being haunted." He then asked me all sorts of questions. "Have you had trouble with any women over the last few years? Did that woman pass away? After that, did you notice you felt unwell? Something strange all over?" I did, and the fact he knew gave me goosebumps. My friend, the one who introduced us, knew about the trouble I had with my old girlfriend. I couldn't deny that maybe that was how the medium had heard about her. But I hadn't told my friend at all about how I felt unwell. My friend only knew about the problems we had, so I had no idea how the medium knew about that. As for the troubles, well, she was a stalker. We met on a dating website, but when we broke up, it all began. I wanted to break things off entirely, but she refused. She started stalking me and wouldn't leave me alone. It creeped me out so much that I stopped going home. But then one day, she was found dead near my apartment. She'd killed herself. A short while after that, I broke out in a mysterious skin rash. Not on my face or anywhere else visible, but everywhere else. My stomach and lower abdomen, my thighs, even my back was extremely itchy and broke out in a bad rash. I went to see the dermatologist about it and had been taking medicine to treat it for about 6 months, but the slightest thing would make it flare up again. So it was quite bothersome. It wasn't at its worst condition when I met the medium, but even then, my lower abdomen had flared up again. It wasn't like I took off my pants or anything, so the fact that he could tell at a glance shocked me. I sat down in front of the medium, and he started to look me over. My friend watched over us from the side. The medium continued to look above my head. "You've made your point, yes? You can't stay here any longer. Please move on to the appropriate place." On and on he went. Then, when he was done speaking, the medium touched me. He attached a charm to me. Then, although he had been kind when he first started speaking, his tone suddenly changed. "Leave this place!" He suddenly burst out in anger. His calm demeanor changed in an instant, and his expression turned ghastly. I didn't know what was happening, but I couldn't stop trembling either way. A short while later, the medium slapped me and screamed, "Go!" This went on for about 5 minutes. Then he stood up and screamed, "No matter what I say, she won't leave." He grabbed my neck and started choking me. My friend, who was standing nearby, rushed over and pulled him off.
She's not an easy spirit to remove, the medium said. I've exorcised her for now, but she refuses to move on. For a moment, I was in danger of possession as well. He then handed me a charm. Here, take this, and keep it close to you at all times.
My skin problems cleared up that very same day. Both my friend and I continued to see the spirit medium once a year after that, and he checked over us and handed us new charms for protection. But a few years ago, he passed away. I noticed these last few months that my skin has been breaking out in a rash again. Now that the spirit medium is gone, perhaps she's come back again. I can't help but wonder, what can I do now?
Don't forget that Kaihan, Bizarre Crimes That Shook Japan, is now on sale. You can find the link in the episode description on koabana.net or just type in Kaihan on Amazon. And if you're looking for even more Japanese horror between episodes, the Koabana YouTube channel posts new videos pretty much every single day. Check out old untranslated Japanese horror games, internet mysteries, unsolved crimes, and much more. You can find that at youtube.com/koabanajapan. Thanks, guys, and I'll see you again next time for even more Koabana, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet.
Want even more scary stories? Head over to koabana.net for new translations every week. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to koabana.net now.